Good morning, disciples. It's good to be with you guys this morning. And thank you, Michelle. That was a great word. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. A couple quick things. Happy St. Patrick's Day and all that that entails for your day today. And happy birthday to Calvin. Yeah. I thought he was like 29. Apparently, he's like 40 or something like that. My guesstimator was way off. I was singing you happy birthday, but I don't love you that much. I love you, but not that much. Full disclosure this morning, I'm kind of with Michelle. I'm not feeling 100% today. It's kind of funny. Week and a half ago was really not feeling well. Kind of got through that. And then the middle of this week kind of was picking something else back up. It could be that my son was coughing all over my desk at the office. He tells me that I got him sick. I doubt that. I still blame him for when I'm sick, he locks himself in the room and Lysols everything. When he's sick, it's just fair game. So apparently that's how that works. He's like, don't talk, Dad, don't talk. But I say that to say this morning, again, likened to Michelle's story, I was in the back office just going over my notes for this morning, and Calvin came in, and he just began to pray, and not just pray, I mean, he was praying. And if for any other reason to other than to spur on your faith, that God is alive and well and at work in our lives, the atmosphere shifted in that room. Something shifted in me. And I'm believing that God is even right now at work in healing me. And I say that to also say this, that this morning after service, whether it's something that maybe spoke to you during the talk or maybe something completely different, we are going to have folks from our leadership team in the back ready to pray for you guys. There's something that happens as we pray for one another. There's something that happens as we testify to one another, lifting each other up in prayer and standing with one another and just believing that God is at work. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Calvin, for praying for me, by the way, this morning. So I only really say that also just in case I'm hacking up a lung or anything else like that, that you guys all know that I'm okay. I've already been prayed for, so I'm good to go. And all that good stuff. I want to kick off this morning doing something a little unorthodox and maybe only unorthodox to, as it would be for maybe some preaching seminars or teachers to say it's what you shouldn't do when preaching. I've never been to any of those, so that's probably why I'm going to be okay doing it. They will say something in regards to, well, doing something like that, you might lose your audience. I don't look at you guys as the audience. We are brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are working out this thing of living out His kingdom here on earth together. Amen? So I want to read some scripture this morning, and when I say scripture, I might have undersold it. We're going to read a lot of scripture. And we're going to read one after another after another. And I'm going to ask you guys right now to allow yourselves to soak in this process. And I'm hoping that as we get to the main message and topic of this morning, that it will click, the light bulb will turn on as to why we're doing it. Just like a warm bath where everything else just fades away, just soak in these life-giving words that speak to who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, what Jesus is doing, and what Jesus continues to do in your life and mine. And I'm aware of the different personalities and walks that we have with the Lord. So I know some of you, this is going to be a real restful few minutes. Matter of fact, you might close your eyes and just rest as scripture is being read out loud over you. Some of you are going to be on the edge of your seat waiting for me to be done. And right when you think I'm done, I won't be done. So I'm just prepping you right now to just soak and allow scripture just to be spoken and read over you And all the scripture that we're going to be reading in the next few minutes pertains to what Jesus has done. And I hope that it clicks later as to why we're doing that. So again, I invite you, close your eyes. I invite you to rest. I invite you just to take part in this process. I'm not going to read book, chapter, and verse. I'm just going to read the scripture. Would you do that with me this morning? For this is how God loved the world. He gave his only, one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. The thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for all our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us and all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all that he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on a cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed everyone is everyone who is hung on a tree. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the things, the good things he planned for us long ago. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with great expectation. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. In just a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you're going to see me, because I am alive and you're about to come alive. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Then Jesus told them, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and don't doubt, you can do things like this and much more. You can even say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. As we read, we come to a few truths. He became poor so that we might become spiritually and eternally rich. In 2 Corinthians, we see this. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake, became poor so that by his poverty, he could make you rich. He became a servant that we might be saved. In Matthew, we read, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. We read in Scripture that he was rejected that we might become accepted. In John, he came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. As we read in Scripture, we see we were spiritually hungry, and Jesus provided the food to satisfy that hunger. Again, in John, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Scripture, we see he takes our heavy burdens and offers his yoke of rest. Again in Matthew, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your soul. We see in Scripture that he was stripped that we might become clothed. We read in Galatians, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. You see, he was bound that we might become free. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He died that we might live. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. In Ephesians, we read, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. And then just to shotgun a few others, he lavishes his love and grace on us. He has redeemed us. He has chosen us and has given us a hope and a future. Our inheritance is in Christ Jesus. He has given us his Spirit to walk boldly into his presence and proclaim his love and power to the world around us today. Amen. And you know what, church? I haven't even gotten to today's reading yet, which will be in Mark 14. So why did I go through all of that? First off, did it take a few minutes to rest? Did it take a few minutes just to allow yourselves to reflect on the goodness of God, on all that Jesus has done, to go beyond just words and Sunday sermons and good points, but that Jesus has done incredible things for you and me? So why did we go through all of that? Because over the course of the series that we've been on, Walking with Jesus, we've been talking about who Jesus is to us. And Pastor Stu has done an amazing job over these last few weeks. He's led us on this journey of seeing Jesus as our brother, Jesus as our healer, our sacrifice, our king. And today I get to talk about Jesus, our prize. And I know no other way to do that than to soak in all the Scripture and recount all the things that Jesus has done, is doing, and continues to do in your life and mine. Jesus, our prize. And to truly value a prize, to look at something and deem it worthy in such a way that you're willing to give anything to receive that prize, you have to acknowledge its worth. And when we were reading verse after verse after verse, I don't know about you, but I am acknowledging, I am declaring, I am proclaiming the worthiness of Jesus Christ. What was or is your prize in life today? What is it that you were or are willing to give everything for in this world? What is worthy of your time, your resources, your devotion, your sacrifice, your passions? What is the prize? I don't know about you, but as I was thinking about prizes and things that I've worked really hard for or to obtain, I tried to reflect to the earliest memory that I had of something that I valued as that prize, that end goal, that thing I'm trying to achieve and get. It was probably about when I was about 13, maybe 14 years old. It was the first BMX bike that I bought on my own. Now, I'm not the cyclist of Pastor Stu and Sean and others in our church, but at that age, I think every guy wanted a cool bike, right? Everyone wanted a cool bike, and the coolest bike I had was probably a red Huffy that my mom was able to get me at Walmart at the time, or was it Target or whatever, not Target, it was somewhere, but it was a Huffy. It was all we could get. And I got into BMX. I love riding my bike. I love going wherever I wanted to go. Back in those days, you were actually allowed outside your house in front yard and go wherever you wanted to go. And we quite literally went wherever we wanted to go. And one of the funnest things for me during the weekend was to go to the bike shop that was next to the 7-Eleven on Madison and Kenneth. There used to be a bike shop there. And all the cool things, the newest things were always in the front window. And we would go in, me and my friends, we'd look around and all the things I was never going to be able to get. But there was a new line, and I remember, when I say I loved bikes at that time, I knew the GTs, I knew the Robinsons, the PK Rippers, the Mongoose, all of those things. I knew what parts were important to have, what was cool when you were at the, at the time there was a Pecan BMX racetrack in Orangevale. We'd go there all the time. I always saw everyone else with these bikes. So there was one in the window this particular time. And I'm not sure, I didn't even do any research to see if it was still, they're still popular or not, but there was a new brand, it was called Powerlite at the time. And this was a P38 Powerlite, supposed to be a really light bike, which is really important for a BMX bike. And it was dark purple, which for a car or a bike or machinery, purple is really cool to me. I love dark purple. It just had everything. And it was $500, which meant to me, I was never gonna own this thing. But I loved this thing. I wanted it. It became the thing I was willing to do whatever I had to do to get. So before Walmart was where Walmart was in Orangevale, there was a Capri shopping center. It was like a little strip mall. And in it was a diner called the Capri Deli. My grandma knew the owner and asked if I wanted to get a job there. So I became, at the young age of 13, the weekend dishwasher and grill cleaner. And the only reason I took that job and was willing to do it was my hands were always soaked, always pruny. The smell of the grill never left me. The cleaning products, I was excited to do it because I had a goal in mind. I had a prize I was wanting to obtain. I was going to do whatever I had to do. And so after a little bit and after a whole summer, I was able to get the money that I needed, and I went and bought that bike. And I'm telling you, there was nothing cooler than riding to school the next day on that bike. There was nothing cooler than going to the track with a bike that you could be proud of. And it was my prize. It was the thing I was willing to give up anything for. I gave up my weekends. I gave up my time, my resources, my effort. I gave up everything to get that prize. It was worth pursuing. What does it look like for Jesus to be our prize? What does it look like for us to pursue that prize? Which brings us to Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. It says, now the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. That doesn't sound sexy, by the way, as far as perfume. But pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. Leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them at any time you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. So here we have Jesus. He's sitting at the meal. Mary enters the room. She has with her an alabaster jar filled with ointment of nard. Again, not a great name for a perfume lineup these days. We are told that this ointment was very precious. She didn't just pop the cork. She didn't open it and take a whiff first. She broke that box and she poured the contents of it on the head of Jesus. In the book of John, in his account, it also tells us that she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. This is an extravagant demonstration of love that for us today deserves a few minutes of our time talking about. Amen? This box was actually, some say, a flask, again, with the substance of nard. And it was this red, from what I've read, red-tinted ointment that is drawn from a plant that grows in India. It was a perfume that was used in the embalming processes. It was so expensive that only the very wealthy could afford to purchase it. And we are told in verse 5 in John's account that it was worth 300 pence. I didn't do research on what that is, but it sounds like if they're making a point to references, a lot of money. So this was like, from what we read, a year's pay for the average worker at that time. A year's pay. So Mary enters the room, breaks the neck on the flask. She pours some of the ointment on Jesus' head. The rest she pours out on his feet. Then she falls down before Jesus and washes Jesus' feet with her hair. And John says that when she did this, the house was filled with the fragrance of the ointment. I don't know about you, but when we gather in this room, when we worship together, when we read scripture together, when we pray together, that's what crosses my mind. This picture crosses my mind almost every single time. That as we do this together as a body, as we aim for Jesus, the prize of our life, that there is a fragrance that fills the house. Don't anybody get too excited about that. There is something, the atmosphere shifts. When Calvin was praying for me and we were together in prayer, when we were together in faith, something arose in that room. An aroma that God could smell. As we worship together in here, as we pray together in here, there's an aroma of faith that fills the room. When she came that day, broke the flask, anointed the Lord, and wiped his feet with her hair, she was saying something powerful. In fact, she was saying a lot in this encounter, and we don't hear her verbally say anything, but there was a lot said in this moment. She was saying a lot about her commitment to Jesus. When she broke the flask, there was no going back. The entire contents of that vessel would have to be used now. Her commitment to him was unconditional and complete. She had her eye on the prize, and she was committed to giving everything for it. in this encounter, she was speaking volumes about Jesus's value to her. She had probably saved her entire life to be able to purchase that flask of ointment. And when she broke that flask and poured it out, she was telling Jesus, "You mean more to me than anything in this world. You are worth whatever the cost might be." She didn't consider the cost of that ointment, just that Jesus was worth every drop. Come on. She was saying a lot about her value to herself. By this act, Mary was demonstrating that Jesus meant more to her than her own reputation. She sacrificed her pride in order to serve him. She was saying, "I love you so much that I do not care what anyone thinks about my expression of love to you in this room." Jesus was worthy of Mary's humility and sacrifice of self in this moment. For there not being too many words, she was saying a lot. She was saying a lot about the value of her possessions. To Mary, nothing in the world was as valuable to her as Jesus. She loved Jesus with an extravagant love that in her mind, everything she possessed was his anyway. She loved the Lord more than she loved her things. He was her prize. Let me tell you something. It was common in those days for a few drops of perfume to be placed on the head of a guest when they entered the home. Mary broke the flask. You just let that sink in for a moment. She broke the flask and poured out every drop for Jesus. What Mary was saying was, "All I have is yours, Jesus." This demonstration proclaimed something. It proclaimed that Jesus' worthiness, Jesus was worthy to be worshipped. I mean, why did Mary do this? She did it because she was thankful. This is why we read all of those scriptures this morning. I'm telling you, it wasn't just a gap filler. She was thankful. Mary was thankful because of all that she remembered Jesus doing. All that she knew of Jesus. Jesus was her redeemer. He had saved her soul, and she was filled with love for that. Jesus had raised her brother Lazarus from the dead. All of these things, all of the things that she can recount and knows Jesus to be, she gave up all. And in one act of selfless, extravagant worship, Jesus was deemed the prize that was worthy of it all. Alistair Stair Begg, a Scottish pastor, captures her actions with these words. He says, "She was saying, 'Whatever hopes, dreams, plans, ambitions, convictions I had, I am bringing them here. And at the risk of being disregarded, being disapproved, of not being socially acceptable, I am going to pour this out on the Lord Jesus Christ.'" The fact that she brought the jar and broke it open indicates that this was a deliberate and thoughtful act. This was not about holding anything back. This wasn't like, "I can give Jesus some of this, but I still need some of this for later." In that moment, she showed that she treasured her Lord with all of her heart, with all of her life, and with all of her mind, and with all of her strength. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Have we, you and I, ever had a revelation like that? Have we had a revelation of this kind of love for Jesus? A revelation of the prize of Jesus. That prize that is worth everything we have. a love and a sacrifice that even Jesus said would be remembered throughout the world and spoken of whenever the gospel is preached. That's what he said of Mary. That's what he said of that encounter. Are we willing to pour out our life savings, our talents, our resources, our time to shower our Lord with that extravagant love? Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. What treasure, what prize has been worth our everything? To remember the prize that is Jesus is to have that revelation that Jesus is worthy of our pursuit. Not through coercion or manipulation, mind you, but out of a revelation and of an extravagant love that Jesus first had for us. To love God with all of our hearts and with all of our soul and with all of our strength. To see Jesus, our prize, worthy of our pursuit, worthy of it all, worthy of the cost. As we see from Scripture, extravagant love is costly. But nothing that we're going to miss if given to Jesus. Mary knew this quite well. When we truly seek Jesus as our prize, and I mean really begin to search our hearts and know that our real treasure is Jesus Christ, then and only then will we begin to live the kind of extravagant love that Mary demonstrated for us in this encounter. I'd like to invite the worship team to come on up. I want to share a few questions. I want to ask us to do a couple things together this week. What's our alabaster jar? What is it that needs to be broken and poured out and given to Jesus? What does it look like to pursue the ultimate prize that is Jesus Christ? Let's do what Jesus said would be done. Let's take some notes from Mary and this particular encounter with him and talk about what that looks like to pursue Jesus in such a way. This week, let's do a few things together to pursue Jesus as our prize. First, again, consider what our alabaster jar is. Spend time this week praying about what it is in our hearts. What are we doing to pursue Jesus as our prize? What's the alabaster jar breaking moment for you? That thing that instead of just giving Jesus a whiff of or a dab of our life, we completely surrender it over to him. That could be our time. That could be our resources, our passions, our plans, our control. What's the thing we only give Jesus a little bit of? But would change your whole world if you just gave him all of it. Second thing this week to do, spend some time this week in personal worship. Mary was declaring how worthy Jesus was. He was her prize. This was an extravagant demonstration of worship to Jesus. I think just our worship alone can be an alabaster jar. The way we hold back sometimes, the way we guard ourselves sometimes, the ways in which we are always thinking of other things when the only thing we should be focusing on is the goodness and presence and love and provision and future and hope of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The worthiness of giving everything. The third thing we can do this week is take some time this week to have an inner look of our lives and be honest about what holds us back from pursuing Jesus as our most valuable prize. Is it pride? There was a lot of pride in that room when Mary did what she did. Self-protection, trust or faith being challenged, maybe past hurts. What is it that keeps us on the sidelines? Mary laid herself down in this encounter. Even as those who watched ridiculed her, criticizing what she had given. Jesus said, in verse 5, I believe, of Mark 14, she gave what she could. And the truth is, Jesus values what has been given with a pure heart and a desire to draw close to him. He will never turn that away. Fourth thing to spend some time this week doing is spend some time this week with a thankful heart. When we read all that scripture this morning, it was to remind you, it was to remind me of all the ways in which we should be thankful for who and what Jesus is and what he has done, what he is doing, and what he continues to do for you and I this morning. Committing what you have to Jesus. Mary made a statement with her actions that said, all I have is yours, Jesus. So I just thought of a few of my own. Jesus, thank you for my family. It's yours. Jesus, thank you for my house. It's yours. Jesus, thank you for my work. It's yours. Jesus, thank you for fill in your blank. And then be sure to say, it's yours. My declaration would be, I want you to be the treasure, Jesus, that is found in my heart. Jesus, you are my ultimate prize. What a world if we could say that. We could live that. We can remember that. Would you stand with me this morning, please? Would you pray? Matter of fact, before we even pray, would you rest with me? Rest in that scripture. Rest in those words. Rest in those truths. I implore you only because I've seen what happens when you break the alabaster jar and give everything to Jesus. Let this room be filled with the fragrance of a people giving everything to him. To chasing after Jesus, the ultimate prize. Always pursuing us. Let us pursue you. Let us run after you. Let us lay everything down. Give over everything we have. And say, Jesus, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. Jesus, we are thankful for who you are, what you have done, what you are doing this very moment, and what you will continue to do every day of our lives. We love you. We love you. We love you. We bless you this morning. Let our worship, let our decisions, let what's in our hearts, the treasure therein, be a sweet fragrance to you. We thank you for it. In your precious name we pray. Let's worship the Lord together this morning. And we have leaders in the back that would love to pray with you this morning. It could be something that maybe spurred in your heart from the message. It could be just something you have going on in your life. Whatever the case might be, we want to pray with you. We've already seen this morning what's at work. We've seen God at work. We've seen hearts transformed. We've seen atmosphere shift. We pray and we invite the Holy Spirit to have his way in this place today. In your name we pray. Amen.